We'll open up with a few questions about Shavuos. First of all, it's a very peculiar holiday. It has no date. You know that Shavuos has no date? It never says in the Torah that it's on the 6th of Sivan, and it isn't. Now, the Gemara tells us that back in the good old days, when we were Mekadesh al Pi Ra'iyah, you know, we didn't have the set calendar that we have today, the Shavuos could come out sometimes on the 5th of Sivan, sometimes on the 6th of Sivan, like it does by it, sometimes on the 7th of Sivan. It's very simple. If it was a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, you know, Iyar, and a 2-day Rosh Chodesh Sivan, right? So Shavuos would come out on the 5th of Sivan. It would be a 1-day Rosh Chodesh Iyar and a 1-day Rosh Chodesh Sivan. It would come out, you know, on the 7th. By us, it always comes out on the 6th, because it's always a 2-day Rosh Chodesh Iyar and a 1-day Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's why it works out as the 6th. Right. All right, so just in our calendar, it always comes out on the 6th of Sivan. Right. The Torah only said the 50th day. 50th day after you bring the Omer, the Kraft Mincha Chadash al Hashem, that's Shavuos. That's a very strange thing. This holiday has no date. It would be interesting to speculate what would happen halacha lemaase chas v'shalom, right? If we lose the luach, right? Or the luach, you know, that we have would be no longer halachically binding. According to Rambam, if there will be no Jews in Israel, then it's no longer halachically binding. The Jews in Israel are like the remnant of the Sanhedrin that made the luach. That's what keeps it, you know, as it were, enforceable. You know. Binding, right? So we speculate that if we lose the luach, but we already had Pesach, we would still have Shavuos, because it's not totally in Rosh Chodesh Sivan. You don't need the calendar, which gives us the Rosh Chodeshim, would be lost. You know, Shavuos does not have a date to it. It's 50 days after. It's Mimachros HaShabbos. 50 days later, count 50 days. That's Shavuos. It doesn't have a date, so it could very well be, you know, speculate that, you know, if we lose the luach after we had Pesach already, we'd still have Shavuos, because it's not a date, it's 50 days later. Right, something to think about, but we're not going to pass on the show now. It should never be Nogea. Yes?
How could you get 2 days Rosh Chodesh Sivan because of the Re'iyah?
Why? Any time. The 2 days Rosh Chodesh is, back in those days, when the Edom didn't come by the Mincha time, if they didn't come to testify in the new moon, so then, you know, then it became a 2-day Rosh Chodesh.
Oh, is that how it happened?
Yeah. That's correct. Right, and that's why there's always 2 days Rosh Hashanah, even in Israel. Right? You know, why is it? Because, the Jews always kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. They didn't know when the Edom actually came. They came, you know, because Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. Right? So if the Edom hadn't come by Mincha time, then that day is holy, and the next day is holy. There's no way for the Jews outside of Har HaBayis to know when the Edom came. So that's why even in Israel, they always kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, because they can't know. So this day doesn't, this Chag does not have a date. It's amazing, it can come out anywhere between the 5th of Sivan and the 7th of Sivan. You know, which sets it apart for Yom Tov, there are a particular date. Another question that there is the, regarding this. You know, first of all, we should say, parenthetically, another question that we're not going to resolve today. It's a serious question in halacha, why there is such a thing as second day Shavuos. I know on a 3-day like this one, you'd really like a way out, right? The poskim don't understand why it is the case, for the reason that we just mentioned. Right, it doesn't have a date to it. You know, what's the reason we keep today's Yom Tov? We don't know what day was Rosh Chodesh, right? Because like we said, when did the Edom come? Did it come on this day? So this day was Rosh Chodesh, or this day didn't come on time, so this day is the 30th, and it is now the first. And that's why we keep 2 days Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz, because in Israel, you know, by the time 2 weeks later the Yom Tov comes around, right, Rosh Chodesh, the Edom, it's no time for the Edom to come around. So why in Eretz also is kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah outside of Yerushalayim. Right, so you figure out, you know, within 2 weeks we'll get the information, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laretz, the Edom, you know, we won't know which day was Rosh Chodesh. But Shavuos doesn't depend on Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Rosh Chodesh Sivan could have been whenever. Makes no difference. Right? It's 50 days after Pesach. All you need to do is find out when Pesach was, and you can figure out when Shavuos is by yourself. It's 50 days later, regardless of the date. And this is a big question. Poskim don't understand why we have 2 days Shavuos. There's no reason to believe that they ever kept 2 days Shavuos in Chutzlars. They just had to find out when Pesach was, and they could do the math themselves. It's irrelevant when the Edom would have made Iyar and Sivan, because it doesn't have a date to it. It's 50 days after Pesach. Right?
But don't we know the 50 days after the second day of the Omer comes out always Vav Sivan? Is that because we have a calendar?
That's only because we have a set calendar. We have a set calendar, and in our set calendar is always 2 days Rosh Chodesh Iyar and 1 day Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's because of our set calendar, but it didn't have to be that way. Right. Anyway. All right, but we're not going to answer that question today. It's a whole other, that's another discussion.
Excuse me, but at the end of the day, does it matter really what the date is as long as it's 50 days after?
That's right, it doesn't. It's an amazing, it's a Yom Tov that has no date. It's 50 days later. And the date used to change from year to, when they used to be Mekadosh El Piriyah, there was, Shavuos was on a different date every year. Right, that's strange about the Chag. You know, another thing that's strange is that, you know, the this is also a question that's brought down in the Poskim. You know, the Gemara already works out, you know, the Gemara discussing that there was a machlokas between Rav Yossi and the Rabbanon, what was the date of Matan Torah then, back then in the desert. Was it Vav Sivan? Was it Zayin Sivan? Right. Machlokas Rav Yossi and Rabbanan. Right. So, what the date was is a machlokas. But the Kuliyam B'Shabbos didn't the Torah, so everyone agrees the Torah was given on Shabbos. The day of the week that the Torah was given was Shabbos. And the Gemara says over there, I can't remember, you work out the Chesed, the Am Yisrael left Egypt on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And, you know, so the question is, how did they make up, you know, and then the Torah was given on Shabbos 7 weeks later. And the question, what was the date, you know, how many days Rosh Chodesh there were, and that, etc. So the question is like this. Everyone agrees, whether it was Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan, everyone agrees the Torah is given 51 days after they left Egypt in that generation. It works out, whatever the Gemara says over there, they all agree they left Mitzrayim either on Wednesday or Thursday. Everyone agrees the Torah was given on Shabbos. Right, the question is, how did the date work out? Did that day work out as Vav Sivan or Zayin Sivan? Right? Everyone agrees it was 51 days, not 50 days. Right? So there's no problem with the Omer, you know, that we count, you know, and we say 50 days, say Chag Matan Torah Seinu. Right? The Torah was given on the 51st day, not the 50th. So, yeah, the Magen Avraham, you know, brings down the Kasha. You know, and Magen Avraham says something cute, right? So it comes out that the second day, Shavuos, is the real day of Matan Torah. The other day we got the Torah. And it's a remiss to the idea of how Choshev Yom Tov Sheni is. That's it, Magen Avraham. But, okay. But, yeah, I want to deal with the Kasha itself. All right, the Torah wasn't given 50 days, it was given 51 days later. According to everybody, Yossi and Rabban, they just have a machlokas how the date worked out that year. Right, so even the 50 days, so it doesn't have a date, and the 50 days also, it doesn't perfectly parallel, you know, when the Torah was actually given, so it's not the proper anniversary of Matan Torah, you know, so, hey, there's no date to that anniversary, and even the days of the Omer doesn't work out perfectly symmetrical, you know, to what actually happened that year. It's an interesting halacha about the, the din of Simchas Yom Tov. Right? That, you know, every Yom Tov it's Chetzio LaHashem, Chetzio LaChem. You're supposed to split it. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether this is obligatory or voluntary. I mean, you know, we paskin it's obligatory. You have to split your day, half for God, half for you. Simchas Yom Tov is a chova, not a rishus. Right, but there's the other sheet of Rabbi Lezer that, you know, Simchas Yom Tov is optional. You could make a kulo l'Hashem, you don't have to indulge. He said, but not on Shavuos. Shavuos, not. Right? Shavuos is the kol yamad abin lachem. Shavuos, you have to eat. It's yom shenitna b'tayra. And that's a very strange thing. Because the day of Matan Torah, you should just be learning all day. No, because it's the day that the Torah was given. Right? So now, you have to. You must indulge half a day. So it needs to be understood. You would think that it's counterintuitive. I thought it should be a day just of learning and not of Simchas Yontov at all. But the Gemara goes on to say something very strange, a story of Rav Yosef. Right, that going on the continuation that Shavuos you got to have Simchas Yomtov because of Matan Torah that Rav Yosef said wants an igla tilta, whatever that means. That was the best meat. He wants the best meat for Shavuos. Right, the lav hahu yoima kama Yosef ika b'shuka. If not for this great day of Shavuos, there are a lot of people in the marketplace called Yosef. That would be nothing special. Says, this is a very important day. This is my big day, Shavuos. Because if not for this day, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. There's plenty of people in the marketplace called Yosef. Right? So they say, understand what's going on over there. Right? First of all, we would not imagine, God forbid, right, that he's happy that Torah was given because now he has a better profession, Because now he doesn't have to go to the market. Now other people support him. That didn't go on back then. People didn't use the Torah as a kli, for their parnasa, right? But also, Rav Yosef didn't get to be the Rosh Hashiva. He was he led the generation together with Rabbah. He didn't get to be who he was, right? If he had a low IQ, he had a high IQ, right? He had a phenomenal memory. He was the Mori Chitai. He was the one that knew all the Mishnayos and Brises Kol. He had a great mind. So let's say, the Torah wouldn't have been given. So it would be no such occupation as being a rabbi or a Rosh Hashiva, which that can't be the pshat anyway, like we just said. Right? But, he would have turned to law, been the best lawyer. Turned to medicine, would have been the best doctor. So what do you mean? Ilava hu yema kama Yosef ika b'shuka, if not for that day. There are plenty of people in the market that are called Yosef. So it's, begs an explanation. we call it Chag Matan Torseinu, right? The Yom Tov of the giving of the Torah. Right? Why? Why don't we call it Chag Kabbalas HaTorah? Why is the emphasis put on the giving, not on the receiving?
I think the person who gives the chashivas of the person who's giving the gift is paramount over the person who's the recipient. So by Hashem giving it, it's making it more chashuv that we got it from him versus we just got it.
Okay, so we'll discuss this in a second. It's a lot more than what you just said. But you're on the right track. Right. We'll open up with with two questions. I know we had some questions, but for the discussion to get into the concept we're about to talk about. Two very interesting halachas about Torah itself, Torah in general. Right. Going in ascending order, there is a halacha of makom Torah. Now, what do I mean? So a place where people learn kavua gets a halacha of kedushas beis hamedrash, which is more stringent than kedushas beis haknesses. Beis hamedrash has a more stringent kedusha and more stringent guidelines than a beis haknesses, which is a makom kavua for tefillah. But there's a concept of makom Torah, halachically, the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, and all the halachas that pertain to it, right? But we have found, Chazal talk this way, about Havi Goyle L'makom Torah, right? This could be understood with cross-referencing with another Mishnah in Avos, right? That even people that sit and learn the Shechinas with them, even 10, even 5, right? Even 1. Something metaphysical, right? That the actual space where you learn, right, becomes a kedusha. You know, gets it becomes a makom Torah. It's called that the Shechina's there. Right now, this is something very interesting to think about. Right, if we talk, let's say, about physics, right. Let's say we convene, you know, in a makom kavua to talk about physics. Is that place a makom physics? Right? Physics is everywhere equally. You know, it's the information is every, you know, these laws are everywhere equally, and this information is everywhere equally. You know, some places there's not more physics in a room where we discuss physics than in a place where they're not discussing physics. Information is everywhere, right? And the laws that that are being discussed are everywhere. So why is it that there's such a thing as makom Torah that has which is a real halachic reality, metaphysical and halachic reality? Why should that be? Right? If we discuss something, right, that thing does not appear. So the physical manifestation of that thing is wherever it is. And the information regarding that thing is everywhere, equally. And if we discuss that thing somewhere, that thing doesn't appear there. It is where it is, and the information regarding it is equally everywhere. We just happen to be discussing it somewhere. That's like to be mizbeinin. Right? What's even more radical, right, and really staggers the mind when you really think about it, is the halacha of lo bashamayim. Right, which is a real halachic reality, that ever since Matan Torah, right, a Navi cannot tell you what the halacha is. Even God himself can't tell you what the halacha is. Lo bashamayim, right? Torah's on earth. And, everyone knows the famous story in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus and the Chachamim, they argued over Tanur Shachnai, and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was trying to prove his case, and he did a lot of, Mavsim, if the halacha is like me, the tree will uproot, and the walls of base marriage will fall, and then finally he got frustrated, Min HaShemayim Yochichu, right? God himself will attest that the halacha is like me, and the Baskel came out, Malcha etel Elazar beni, halacha k'mosu b'kol makom. Why are you starting up with Eliezer? Right? Halacha's like him everywhere. Amad Rabbi Shua Raglov. Rabbi Shua got up and said, Lo bashamayim. Couldn't care less. Right? It's God himself talking. Now it's God's Torah. Now, Yala al Adas, I'm reading a book. I have my interpretation of what the book says. Then the author of the book, comes and says, I didn't mean any of that. Nonsense. Yeah. But it's my interpretation. Okay, you're dirt. It's not what I meant. Right? It's God's Torah. Right? And now he gave it to Am Yisrael, and now what? Now God can't explain to us what he meant anymore. It's an amazing thing. Right? It staggers the mind. So, get back to the something strange that happened at Matan Torah. Right? That's something everyone knows about. Kofalem Har Kegigis. Of course, Baruch Hu held the mountain over us like a barrel. Right? Into Gabos HaTorah Mutav, Vav, Potek Vorasa. Maybe you can accept the Torah fine. If not, you'll be buried right here, right now. Was that necessary? Am Yisrael said Naaseh V'Nishma. Well, it wasn't necessary. We wanted it. All the other goyim said, Mike Siva Bey, Amisrael wanted it. Why was it necessary? Right. Aside from the fact that, the Gemara over there does backflips, this looks very bad. It looks like we were forced into it. Okay, but we made up for how it looks bad. All right, by the story of Purim, Hadar Kiblu B'Me'ach HaShverosh, that's how the Gemara goes on. We re-accepted the Torah, voluntarily in the days of Mordechai and Esther. right? And that's how to supplements for how this looks very, very bad, because it's very apparent that the Torah was given to us by duress. But the question is, you know, it was totally unnecessary. We wanted the Torah. We said, Na'aseh v'nishma. So why did God do it? Yeah. Why do you have to do it? That now you need the story of Purim to sort of take off the bad publicity. Yeah, okay. The Jews, you know, the Jews really loved the Torah anyway because they re-accepted it more than Esther. All right. Why did he do it? It was totally unnecessary. Seemingly. All right. So things like this. The halacha states that a Talmud Chacham could be mocha on his kavod, and he has the right to say, "Don't honor me." You know, it's even though we're honoring him not for him, we're honoring him for the Torah. All right, so Gemara asks, that doesn't make sense. If we're honoring him for the Torah, what? Chi Torah delay? It's not his Torah; it's God's Torah. So it should be like the halacha of a melech. A melech cannot be mocha on his kavod because it's the honor of the nation. It's not his personal honor to. Forgo on, it's the honor of the nation itself. So a time ago, it's the honor of the Torah. So the Gemara says, in Torah Dileu, no, it is his Torah. It is his. Save ubitoraso yege yomam v'laylo. Right? In his Torah, he speaks day and night. It's mine. It's his Torah. Yes, it is his Torah. What?
It's
no, ubitorato. In his Torah, he speaks. So the Gemara. His, as in, so the Gemara understands the pasuk to be saying that pasuk in Tehillim saying it is in his own Torah that man's own Torah that Yehege Yomam V'Laila. It's mamish his.
He earns it.
It is his. It's understood better in context of the whole pasuk. Kiim b'Toras Hashem Cheftzo. He desires Torah Hashem. But then, ubetorato, then it switches form. Torah Hashem to Torato, yeh geyom v'layla. But in his Torah, he desires God's Torah. But in his Torah, you know, it changed form. You know, ubetorato, yeh geyom v'layla. So the Gemara understands, I mean, it's his. You know, how? Right? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of Torah, so we're learning what God said. So, you have to ask a question like this, even more fundamental question. You know, we call this day Matan Torah. So aside from that, we ask why it's called the stress on the giver, but there's a more basic question like this, right? This is not the first time there were mitzvahs given, right? Adam Rishon got 6 mitzvahs, right? Noach got a 7th mitzvah of Eber Menachai, because until Noach they're all vegetarian. I don't know how they survived. But Noach gets, and then Avraham Avinu got the mitzvah of Mila. Right? And then in Mitzrayim they got the halacha of Kiddush HaChodesh and Korban Pesach. And all mitzvahs of Pesach. And in Mora they got the 3 mitzvahs, you know, Shabbos, Kibarav, Paraduma, you know, Dinim, you know, right? The question was Kibbutz or Paraduma to the Mishchos, right? That was Torah on Earth. What changed? Right? Now that it's more than that. You know, there was Torah on Earth, even if it wasn't obligatory. Right? Hare, the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, "Min habehemah asher einena Torah, the non-kosher animals you bring 2, the behema tahara you bring 7, right?" Says Rashi, Mikan Shalomad Noach Torah. Noach learned Torah, and he learned the laws of Kashrus.
They went to Shane Badger, what were they learning? They also, you see, the opposite.
Yeah. Right. So even if it wasn't obligatory, you know, this information was accessible. And there's 2 things. There are 3 things that were given as directives, and also this information was accessible. So what I mean, the Torah was given here. This is called the giving of the Torah. Right, there's multiple answers to this question, but I don't know. Yes, you have a...
It's not just about information. What happens about the Torah is this connection between Hashem and us. That's the major part. And I think that's part of the problem we've discussed. discussed before about what goes on in our generation, that we're learning and learning, but where is Hashem in the picture? I don't know if that's what I'm learning from Rabbi Kirzner's talk that I've been listening to.
Yeah. No, but it goes a lot more than that. It's a lot deeper than that. Yeah. Yeah. And this gets into the issue, you know, of another question. You know, this you know, the Avos, you know, someone correctly mentioned that, you know, the Avos kept the Torah on a voluntary basis because they weren't mitzvah, you know, until later in history, but they kept all the halachas as an eno mitzvah va'osa. Not always.
Right, didn't she serve to the malachim, like, meet together, like, did she...
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But the yeah. Well, it's, yes. Correct. You know. But also, Yaakovino married two sisters. That's, you know, chiyuv kares. That's not. It's pretty severe. You know. It's you know. They did it on. They played by their own rules. Right. No. So it's, you want to do it. You know. Do it. And but ever since Matan Torah, you know, we don't play games like this anymore. Right? It's like you stick with the halacha, you know, hell or high water. You just do whatever the halacha says. You know, right? So the word is like this. The everyone knows, right? That, you know, the Torah. You know, we actually touched upon this in a chapter we did relatively recently in Derech Hashem. You know, the Torah is the highest thing that God created. And that's what it means, istakul b'raisa b'rama, like the first thing he projected was the Torah, and from that, the reality branched out from there. As well as we learn, Torah is tie is the closest thing to God's infinite being. That's why when we learn Torah, we're tapping into that. Right? So, as we've learned many times in Derech Hashem, there's a totem pole of reality. Right? So now, really, the highest thing, right, even higher than the Kisei HaKavod, right, is the Torah. Right. In the certain writings of the Ari, you know, it's called, as it were, the garment. You know, Olam HaMalbush, right, it's called, you know, as it were, God's garment. It's like the closest, I mean to say it's the closest thing to God Himself. Well, you know, the thing close to God Himself is the Torah. So that's the highest thing in reality, and then, you know, there's, you know, the rest of reality, you know, was, you know, lower levels, but like we learned, you know, there's a trickle-down effect. Right? So we've learned this repetitively in the book. You know, the higher worlds are mashpia to the lower worlds. So ultimately, everything comes from God, you know, and God, you know, through his Torah, and from there down to, you know, what we learned about the kochos and the malachim, you know, the galgalim, right? You know, the constellations down to us. So, you know, you could figure out that by trickle down effect, right? If you're perceptive enough, right, you could see faint imprints of the Torah on Earth, right? Because it all came from there originally. Right? It all started with the Torah, Bereishis, Bishul Torah, and all reality branched out from there. Right? And if we'd be particularly smart, this is what Chazal tell us. You know, famous Chazal, I'm sure you know. Right, that even if Torah would have not been given, once Am Yisrael's senses were purified by Har Sinai, they could have learned Torah from, you know, not to steal. They could have derived that from the ants, that the ants don't steal from each other. Right? They could have derived Tznius from the cat, etc. It's a famous Chazal. You could see, the fingerprints of Torah, you know, on our world, because it all came from there originally. That's all part of the Istakul B'Oraisa Bara Alma. You've got to be, you know, spiritually sensitive, you know, you have to have pure senses, and you could you could see these things. Right, but Torah still remains in heaven, and you're on earth, and you just get what trickles down. Right, and part of the, you know, trickle down effect, you know, it could also be something even more direct, like getting a directive from God. Right? That he tells you to do something, and it's one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, right? But the Torah is still in heaven, right? And you get the directive, and the directive comes first, but the Torah is in heaven, right? Yeah, mashal ma davar daima, right? Any body of law, the legislature is in Washington, Right, and that's where they sit, and that's where it is, and that's where all the deliberations go out. You just get your orders from Washington. So, as it were, the governing body is there, and you, the subject, you get your marching orders, and that's what you got. You got your marching orders. You're not part of the law, right? You don't sit in the Senate. You don't sit in the House, right? You just get your orders. You know, so the governing body is there. You're here, and you just get your marching orders, right? And you're not a part of the law. You just have to obey the law, right? And that's the way it is. You know, the Bnei Noach have mitzvahs also. And not only that, according to the Rambam, they have to keep their mitzvahs not because it's a nice thing. They have to keep their mitzvahs because it says so in the Chumash. Now, if they don't, they say, well, someone told me it's a good thing. They don't get schar for their mitzvahs only because they have to do it because so it says in the Chumash. But even so, right, their mitzvahs are not the same as ours. Right? As we add this in Derech Hashem, section 2, chapter 4, right? They don't change the world when they do mitzvahs. We had this. Right? They improve their own personal situation, but they are not reality shapers. Because they just have marching orders. This is what the Gemara says, a very interesting Gemara. Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that all the mitzvahs that Am Yisrael did are destined to bang the goyim between the eyes. Right? And say, why? Kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim. The Torah is your wisdom and understanding in the face of nations. So Gemara says it in the face. Our mitzvahs are going to bang them in the face. Now let's talk about our mitzvahs. And the pasuk that it brings from, because it's your wisdom and your understanding. Because it's an amazing thing. Right? We don't just have marching orders from the Torah. We sit and we make the law. Right? The Sanhedrin sits and convenes and, you know, and we, you know, deliberate and we paskin. We're not getting marching orders. We are involved in the chokhma and bina of the Torah. Right? The actual wisdom and understanding of the Torah is also in our hands. And this is what the Gemara is saying. It therefore puts our mitzvahs, even the actions that we do, on a whole different level. We have the power of Torah within our actions. We have the chokhma and bina of Torah within our actions. And that's why our mitzvahs change the world. Let's put it like this. You know, Torah's on Shemayim, the Umas Sa'olam right there with their seven mitzvahs, they get their marching orders from the Torah. Torah's in heaven, they're on earth. So they're at the bottom of the totem pole doing their thing, just trying to make a better life for themselves. But as we learned, what we do on earth shoots back up to heaven and changes reality. You know why? Because that Torah that's at the top of heaven is in our hands. That's why whatever we do goes immediately to the top of the totem pole and reshapes reality, because the Torah that's at the top of the totem pole is in our hands. That's Matan Torah. That's Matan Torah. That's what changed. And it only changed for the Jewish people by the Goyim's Sheva Mitzvahs. It remained the same. Right? The manifestation of Torah on earth prior to Matan Torah wasn't the essence of the Torah. The essence of the Torah is in heaven. Right? Information trickled down. So someone who is, you know, very perceptive could pick up and see the fingerprints of Torah, for lack of a better word, in reality, derive things, you know. But the Torah remains in heaven. This is what trickled down to earth, right? And you work with it to, you know, try to improve your situation, but it's not a reality shaper. And that's why the others were allowed to call their own shots, because Torah was still in heaven, not on earth. So they deduce from what trickled down that these are good things to do. But since the Torah wasn't given yet, right, sometimes it was kedai to do otherwise. And they made the calls when they keep halacha, when they don't keep halacha. Right? God didn't command them to do this, so, because, you know, it wasn't time yet, so that's why they could pick and choose. Right? Matan Torah changed everything, right? The whole nature of mitzvahs, right, is no longer that the Torah is heaven and we're on earth and we get directives, like, as it were, the governing body is in Washington. You're here and you get your marching orders from, you know, from the governing body what to do. Matan Torah was literally Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Literally. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Rashi says, Hirchin el Yoinim al Tachtorim. God, Moshe, you know, fold, superimpose the heavenly spheres on the lower spheres. Manitar was is something that boggles the mind. It was a change, a cosmic change, that the Torah is on earth. The Torah that really, really belongs in the highest place of heaven and never stopped being there. Its essence is on earth. It's mind-boggling. And you understand yourself, there's something only God can do. It's a miracle. Matan Torah is a miracle. Right? And this, you know, this explains a lot of things that, you know, Chazal tell us, you know, you have to be chazering always. The Torah, you know, it's hard to acquire it like gold and easy to lose it like glass. Right? If you're not constantly chazering, you forget what you learn. Why? Because Torah is heavenly. If you don't constantly tighten your grip on it, it recoils back to heaven. It is, in essence, heavenly. It's a miracle that it's on earth. Right? And since it's a miracle that defies the nature of the setup of reality, that the highest thing is here in the lowest realm, and since it spiritually could be in both places at the same time, but it is here, mamish. Right? That's why we make a Birkas HaTorah in Lashon Hove, in present tense. Baruch HaTorah Hashem. No sein ha-Torah. God is still giving Torah. Because it's a miracle. Right? It defies nature. If the Rebbe would not be actively willing the Torah to be on earth, it would naturally recoil to its natural place in the highest heavens. So he's constantly giving it. It's supernatural, the fact that Torah is on earth. Because Torah is not information regarding Torah is on earth. The essence of Torah is on earth. It's a miracle.
So we have to keep pulling on the string to keep it down here.
Yes. Yes. And that's what it means, lo bashamayim, you know, God really gave us the essence of Torah. It's not like the question that we ask. So the author really has the book. I just have my take on the book, but the essence of the book is by the author. Right? And that's why if he says your interpretation is nonsense, it's really nonsense. Right? But Matan Torah was a miracle that the essence of Torah is really in our hands. To be reinterpreted through the mind of Am Yisrael, which is the Torah Shebaal Peh u'betorah so yehegeh. Right? The Torah of the Talmidei Chachamim, God mamash gave the essence of Torah to them, and that was the condition. He gave it. I'm giving you the essence of Torah that it should be as it appears through the filters of your neshama. But it's the essence of Torah is here. The essence of Torah is not in Shemayim. You know, in a halachically binding way, I mean to say. The essence of Torah is mamash put in our hands. And that's what makes our mitzvahs world shapers. Our mitzvahs were not world shapers before Matan Torah. Because our mitzvahs were just directives. The essence of Torah is there, and we're just doing our marching orders, you know, just obeying the law. Now we have the power of the law itself in everything we do. And that's why our mitzvahs bang the goyim, you know, between the eyes. And it's going on, but what that Gemara is saying is even their seven mitzvahs that are the same as ours, like lo sirtzach, lo signovu. Still, our lo sirtzach and our lo signovu bangs them between the eyes, in your face, right? Because we have the power of Torah in our lo sirtzach and lo signovu. They just have a directive from the Torah not to murder and not to steal. Yes.
Why are
the
considered like less spiritual than
the I don't understand the question. You're equally obligated to accept the Rabbanim, but the Rabbanim themselves, you know, because of the we're going to Rambam. You're chayv biblically to obey the Rabbanim because of lo sasur, right? But they themselves legislated that it should not be the same as the way the Torah, not as stringent, because they have to draw a difference. So it shouldn't be Baal Torah, it shouldn't be look like they changed the Torah and added mitzvahs. So to show that it's our thing, that's why the Gedorim, you know, the bylaws will be more lenient, to show that they, it's our thing, we didn't change the Torah.
But isn't it like, say,
Yeah, because it's a rabbinic, they invented it. So what they invent, they have to do differently than what the Bible says to show that they're not, that they haven't changed the Bible. They show it's our thing, it's not the Bible. We haven't changed the Bible. So that's how they show it, by making the guidelines more lax, is the way that they show it's our thing. Otherwise, they'd be over on Baal Tosef, as if they're adding mitzvahs to the Torah. So they show we're not, you know. That's how they demonstrate that this is our thing and not the Torah's thing, by making the guidelines more lax.
But theoretically, then if not for that, then it would be just as stringent.
They could. They have that power. We have to accept upon ourselves what they institute, because the Torah said lo sosa. We're weakly obligated to accept upon ourselves what they legislate. But they decided, you know, that they're going to do it more leniently, you know, to make a difference between what's theirs and what the Torah originally said. So it shouldn't be Baal Tosef. Shouldn't look like they're changing the Bible. So this is artificial.
Why is it really changing? I thought the 613 mitzvahs are just the basis, and then we derive thousands.
Yeah, no. So the question, the problem is when it's, when they make an isur, that there's no such isur in the Torah. It's not one of 365 lavim. No, not also midrash to have chicken and milk. And I say made a new negative commandment, so they have to show no, this is only our thing, and that's why there are leniencies, right? Bas b'chov d'rabbanan that we don't have by bas b'chov d'oraisa. Like you're allowed to cook it. Now to cook bas b'chov d'oraisa, even the cooking is also, you're allowed to cook chicken and milk. It's a, whatever. No, it's a, don't want to get off topic. We have to try to go full circle over here, right? So Matan Torah is a miracle. It's something that defies the setup of reality. Right? Now the Torah is in its essence on earth, right? Even though it never stopped being in heaven also. That's why all the mitzvahs that we do immediately go to the highest place in reality and change everything. But that's ever since Matan Torah. And that's why ever since Matan Torah, there's nothing better for the world than to just stick with the strict halacha. Don't play games, just stick. Right? This is the world shaper, if you go with the halacha. And that's the explanation of Lo Bashamayim Hi, right? Which is a direct, it's just, Matan Torah made it Lo Bashamayim Hi. Prior to Matan Torah, even though there was Torah on earth, the Torah in essence was Bashamayim. The Torah was in essence Bashamayim. We just had directives and information that filtered down. Lo Bashamayim Hi is from Matan Torah onwards. Right? So you understand, this is something that only God can do. Right? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do a thing like this. Right? It's not humanly possible. Right? The miracle that is Matan Torah. As much as we want to make ourselves worthy to receive, the receiver only gets what filters down to him. Matan Torah is a God put Torah on earth. That's the miracle of a Matan Torah. Right? Kabbalah's Torah means you get as much as you received. This is a miracle that we have the essence of Torah, which is far beyond what we have kalim to receive. No one knows the whole Torah. And it's not like that. This is not just the whole Torah. This is the essence of Torah. It's a miracle. Because there's talking about electricity, and then there's electricity. Right? When our Limud HaTorah is not talking about Torah. We're not talking about Torah. It is Torah. And that's what it means. Where you learn Torah, it's a makom Torah. The Shechina is there. It's a reality. And where our learning of Torah is Torah. It's not about Torah. We're not learning about Torah. It is the Torah. And that's why where you talk Torah, there's real spiritual energy there. And it gets a kedusha of base medrash. It becomes the Shechina is there with you. Right? Right.
Was that because this holy, non-physical entity?
Oh, yeah. Well,
no, from my,
you know, you're doing the collage of the highest heavens with the lowest realm. It's,
okay, it was, so now the lower realm.
It's amazing that stabilized. What?
Right. So now we're used to it?
What?
The lower realms can adapt to it?
Yes, but it's why the lower realms are destined to be in the future the highest place in heaven. Bilam says, Kesh Zimar Yisrael, Ma Po'al Kel, in the future the Malachim are going to ask us, what did God do today? In Olam Abag, you know, this realm that we're standing on right now is going to ascend to be Olam Abba. Yeah. It's not like, you know, this world is destined to climb to a higher place than where the angels currently are. So we're at the bottom of the totem pole of reality. That's going to shift. Right? You know why? Because Torah went down here. And we have Torah. And the angels don't. And that's why in the future, this realm is going to be in Olam Abba. Things are going to be rewired. This place is going to be higher than when the angels are right now. Because Torah went down here.
So regarding the Avos, if the Avos were not Metzuva,
right,
and they were just discerning Torah on their own,
yes,
are they on, like, I don't know if this is after curses, were they like on a lower level than Moshe and Aaron who got the Torah?
They didn't have the privilege of having the Torah. They could have been very big as, you know, mitzad their tikkun amidas and, you know, their personal development. They could have been, let's say, bigger than Aaron, not bigger than Moshe. We have, Moshe Rabbeinu was the most perfect human that ever lived, right? But, it could have been bigger than Aaron. You know, that's possible, but they were at a disadvantage. They didn't have the Torah. That's right. We, ever since Matan Torah, we could accomplish things that the earlier generations, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Noach, Shem, Eber, Mesushach, couldn't accomplish.
So why do we say
Niskatna Ledoros? What?
Why do we say Niskatna Ledoros?
Niskatna Ledoros doesn't have to be. It's not saying it has to be. It's, you know, it's just, people like doing it, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be, but there's no frumkeit in Niskatna Ledoros. No, it's not.
It's the free pass that we tell ourselves when
others. Yeah. That's right. But it's certainly true that Am Yisrael after Matan Torah is on higher madrega than what the others had. Not as individuals, but, you know, we have an asset they didn't have, and I'll tell you why. Very simple, because our big asset is that we're a nation. They were individuals. Torah is too big to give to individuals. You can't make a bris olam with an individual that's here today and gone tomorrow. We had an advantage, not because we were greater individuals, but we had the advantage of being a nation. You could make a bris olam with a nation, because a nation is a corporate entity that spans all generations to always be around. You cannot make an eternal covenant with individuals. So the asset that Am Yisrael had was that they were a nation. That was their asset, as it were.
And interesting what you're saying, because he really did make it.
He made promises that in the future they will be a nation. They will be a nation, and they will. He made promises to the Avos, but it was fulfilled. And he told them, you will become a nation. So the asset of Am Yisrael was that they were a nation. You know, as it were, if they had a certain advantage, it wasn't as individuals, because they were a nation.
So our power is in our nationhood and our avos.
Yes, and Torah was only given to us as a nation. Morasha, Kilas Yaakov. Because this thing, calling the essence of Torah, it's too big for an individual. Only a nation is a kli worthy of such a thing. And even so, it's still a miracle. Yes, that's absolutely. Morasha, Kilas Yaakov. That's why, Ve'echan Sham Yisrael Keneged Ahar, Kish Echad B'lev Echad, the Torah is a gift to a nation. It's too big for an individual. As great as any individual would be. Even when Am Yisrael is in disgrace, so HaKadosh will say to Moshe, this, I'm going to make you into a big nation. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't get the Torah. You know? It's too big for an individual. So when Am Yisrael says, I'll make you into a big nation. Torah, you know, it's too big for an individual. Especially talking about the essence of Torah. It's too big for an individual. Right. So Matan Torah is a miracle done by the infinite God. That's why our bond to Torah has to be Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only He can do it. The emphasis is on Matan Torah, the giver. He gave it to us, but He really gave it to us in a way that we can never, you know, as it were, in a consensual contract, right, you know, where the buyer and the seller are equal, you know, whatever filters down is what filters down, you know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not giving us, you know, what we're buying and what we're acquiring or what we're ready to receive. He's giving us the Torah itself, which is too big, and you can never be properly ready for. And then we mentioned this. This is why we don't count the 50th day. It's not one more. This is like infinitely more. I mean, we prepare ourselves up to 49. Am Yisrael on the 49th day said, Nah, Seven Ishma. You can prepare yourself and prepare yourself, prepare yourself. Torah's still bigger. We're talking about the pure, infinite essence of the Torah was put in our hands. That's why only God can do. And that's why, you know, God had to give it. That's why it's Chag Matan Torah Seinu. It's a miracle from God. Right? And that's why, you know, Kofleim Har Kegigas, like, listen, you're not taking this. Because if you take it, it's only as big as you are. I got to give it to you. It's got to be unilateral. Mitzad me alone. Right? And the Maharal says something very interesting. You know, he says, you know, this made a certain reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't exchange us for any other nation. Ever. Right? Say the Maharal, he says it's a medrash somewhere that, you know, parallels it to the halacha that when a man, you know, takes a woman by force, lo yuchal leshalcha kol yamav. He can never, you know, if she wants, he can never divorce her. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, took us by force with Kofleim Har Kegigas. That works to our advantage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never exchange us for another nation. But it goes deeper than that. Am Yisrael's bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal because the essence of Torah is what's between us. Right? If it would be based on, you know, consent, if we broke our end of the agreement, he's free for his. But he bonded us by the essence of Torah. That's the highest Kedusha, that's immutable, that never dilutes. Made it a reality, the essence of Torah by us, and the essence of Torah is a Kedusha that never burns out. It's the highest Kedusha there is. In the words of Sadia Gaon, Ein Amenu Uma El Betrasu, what makes us a nation is the Torah. And so only he can do. Right? When we deal with Torah, you're dealing with, you know, you're doing something which is above time and space. You know, you're dealing with this highest Kedusha. Right? And it's up to God to give it to you. And it's not up to us. We could just try to make ourselves as worthy as possible. At the end, he gives it. If it's truly going to be given, that the essence of Torah will be in your hands, not just what you understood about it. And this has another, you know, so just like, you know, in the global, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never exchange us for another nation, right? So also, right? So also, just like you can't exchange for another nation, even the individual who has Torah, right? And then, God forbid, forgets it. You know, so we mentioned, Torah naturally recalls to heaven, but there could be such a thing as Zakein Sheshachach Talmudah, right? You know, a Talmud Chacham, you know, he got old, he lost his mind, he lost it. Okay? So what's the halacha? You have to still honor him anyway, even though he's not a Talmud Chacham anymore. Sheluchos v'shivrei luchos munachim barim. Just like the shards of the luchos that were broken, also their kedusha is not bottle. So they get put in the Aron. So also the Talmud Chacham Sheshachach Talmud is Shivrei Luchos. So that's an amazing thing, because Torah is the Kedusha of Torah is really on earth, and in the Kedusha of Torah is, you know, irrevocable. It doesn't burn out, doesn't dilute. So even a sefer that got ripped up still has Chayiv and Geniza. It still has Kedusha Satayra. Am Yisrael, no matter what they sing to, still has Kedushas Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't exchange us for another nation. Right? The Talmud Chacham, who, since Torah, you know, he's not, like we said, he doesn't learn just information regarding Torah. He has Torah inside of him. Right? If it would just be information regarding Torah, you forgot the information, you forgot it. He has the essence of Torah. So even if he's not conscious of the information of Torah, but the essence of Torah is inside of him, and that's why you have to honor him, even though he's no longer conscious of the Torah that he learned. And that's because of Matan Torah. because Ma'an Torah made it that our relationship to Torah is not information, that Torah remains in that. We have information from the Torah, we have the Torah itself. And that's why if you forget the Torah, it's still inside of you. It's Ube Torah, so yeah, get yom v'la. And Ma'an Torah made that. And that's what Rav Yosef was saying. If not for that day, a lot of Yosef in the marketplace. Because Rav Yosef was a Zokein Sheshochach Talmudo. At the end of his life, he went blind. And he forgot much of his learning. We find many Gemaras that at the end of his life, Abaye, his student, reminds him, Hari Amrison, you told us, you know, don't you remember? And, you know, you can imagine how bad that feels, right? But he reminds himself, Ilav, how even though I am now a Zokein Sheshochach Talmudo, I'm still not the same as any Joe in the marketplace. Because of Matan Torah, because of this day that made it that, you know, our relationship to Torah is not one of that we learn about Torah, but we actually have the Torah in our hands, and whenever we learn Torah, the essence of the Torah is inside of us, right? It also makes it that a Zokein Sheshochach Talmudo is still a better person, still a holier person, still Chayev Mimachabit him, right? Even though he forgot it. Matan Torah made that. If not for Matan Torah, it would just be information regarding Torah. You lost it when you lost it. You have the essence of Torah inside of you. Right? And that's why it's irrelevant what the date of Shavuos is. It makes no difference what date it comes out on. Right? You know, 5th day of Sivan, 6th day, 7th day of Sivan. It makes no difference that in that generation, right, it was given 51 days after they left Mitzrayim, and we were always commemorating the 50th. Well, it would make a difference if we'd be making Shavuos. We don't make Shavuos. It's a miracle from God. He's above time and space. Right? But that's what makes it Matan Torah is a reality. Having the essence of Torah, that's what gives us the power that with our mitzvahs we reshape reality. Right? That's what makes this world have the destiny to become Olam Haba. Because the power of Torah, in essence, is down here. And that's why it's a day of Simcha. Right? Right? The whole world was changed and saved. And that's why Simchas Yom Tov is a Chiyuv. Right? The essence of Torah coming down changed the world. We have to celebrate reality itself. Right? And that's what Rav Yosef said. You know, especially it was his happy day. Because I know every time a Jew learns Torah, the aura of Torah has, it's not, you didn't learn about Torah. You mamash have the light of Torah inside of you, and it makes an eternal difference whether you remember that Torah or not. And Matan Torah made that. And that's the awesomeness of this day. The awesomeness of the day is that, you know, there's a renewal of this unbelievable phenomenon that, you know, Am Yisrael was privileged to participate in, that Ribono Shel Olam Hirchin Elyonim Atah superimposed the highest heavens on the lowest earth, with Matan Torah, and Am Yisrael is the kli, right, to receive this. Right? And that's what makes us an eternal nation that can't be dissolved. Because, right? You know, the essence of Torah is by us, and that koach is not, it is impossible to extinguish. And that's why he'll never exchange us for another nation. Okay, a good yontif.